We have a gospel lesson that gives us another perspective, an additional perspective on this resurrection appearance by Jesus to his disciples. So last week, the lesson was about not only Jesus appearing to the disciples, but particularly to Thomas, in order to really prove he was a physical being. He had a physical resurrection. He had skin and bones. It was not an illusion. He was not appearing in some spiritual form. He was physically present and alive. Well, that's true, but you think about the passage from John, and it relates how the disciples were fearful and hiding in a locked room. And in the middle of the locked room, Jesus appeared. Well, if he's flesh and bone, how do you pull that off, right? So there's more going on here than him strictly having a new life. It's a different life. It's a changed life. He's really transformed through his resurrection into some form, I don't know how you even describe. It's both physical and spiritual, right? It's this combination thing that our human brains can't really lap our thought process around. But Jesus had definitely been transformed. He had changed from the inside out. The book of Acts tells us how the transformation of Jesus brought about another transformation that very much included Peter. Peter got transformed too. After Peter saw that Jesus had actually been raised from the dead, and after Peter had experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he healed a crippled beggar. And there were lots of people who witnessed that healing, and they recognized the man. They had seen him around town forever. They knew exactly who he was, but all of a sudden now he's walking and jumping and praising God, is what Acts tells us. And so Peter told them that the power to heal was not his power. Don't get any false presumptions about Peter, that it wasn't his power, but it was the power of Jesus working through him. Peter had changed from the inside out, from this impetuous student who seemed to almost never get things right, into being filled with power and confidence and boldness and words that carried real authority. What these situations tell us is that there was a power that emanated from the resurrection of Jesus. And it didn't just affect Jesus, it affected other people. And it affects you and me today. It's not just a historic thing. It's a present reality as well. In that room, Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understanding the scriptures. That's part of what was accomplished, and I can attest firsthand that that still happens. I remember as a young boy seeing a Bible in my house, but I never saw it opened, and we never read it. It was King James. I don't know if we'd understand it if we tried to read it. I remember going to Sunday school, and we had assignments to read pieces of it, and that's the only piece I read. And it really wasn't until I was in my late 20s that something happened that just opened my mind to wanting to understand Scripture. And then I couldn't let go of it. It really captured me. And it really did transform me. Just ask Ruth. She thought I'd gone nuts. All of a sudden, I'm carrying a Bible with me everywhere, and I'm kneeling beside the bed at night. She thought I had some kind of a seizure or something. And she said, "You've never done that. Who are you? Where's Ken? What have you done with him?" So, you know, in the Bible reading category, though, I just wanted so much to really get into what this was about. What is it that this book really has to tell me? And so one of the things that was so great about that time frame, it was back in the 70s and 80s, that a lot of translations came out, a lot of because of Dead Sea Scrolls being released to publishers, and they had a whole bunch of different companies writing translations. And one of them that's not an official translation, but boy, did it change my life, was the New Living Translation. So this is Tyndale publishers who did this, and the idea was to not try to do a word-for-word translation, but to convey the intent in a really approachable, readable way. And I was just completely captivated by it. I actually understood it. And so this old taped-together, dog-eared, marked-up Bible, I ended up just really spending a lot of time in. And then when I was in my car, I discovered you can not just hear, you know, Vincent Peale dictating the King James Version, but you can get dramatized versions of the Bible. At that time, it was on cassette, so I bought a set of cassettes of the New Testament. It was okay, except when it went over bumps, right? But the rest of the time. But what it allowed was every person in the story would have a different voice. And it would you would hear dialogues, conversations between people, and you would hear sound effects of things going on in the background. And I was captured by that. Then I did a lot of flying then, working hard towards my Million Mile Club on American Airlines at the time, and I got one of these. And so this little pocket New Testament was in my briefcase all the time. And so when I was in an airplane, back then I didn't even need glasses, and I could read the size of the print in here. But, you know, it was just Bible, 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 any way that I could. And it really sunk in, and it is such an important part of my faith journey to understand, hey, there are 2,000 years of Christians and 5,000 years or so of people who've been through what we've been through trying to figure this all out. What can I learn from them? And it transforms us. We, the church, are about transformed lives. That's really the commitment we make to be part of a faith community, that we are open to transformation. It is about transformation. It's about how we can be transformed ourselves and how we can transform other people. I think of the transformations that you and I experience by being part of a faith community, and a big part of that is just seeing people who end up going into ordained ministry, who pass through here. I think in this case of Brian Nordwick, and I know Deacon Joan, and I'm sure there are others that I don't even know about that you know about who have passed through here for part of their training. And, you know, we're blessed to be part of that process. I know at my former parish, there were about four people who I helped go through holy orders through the years, and to be a mentor to them and help guide them through the process. And it transformed them, and it transformed me to be part of that process. I think about Dee Sigismund and her passion for the kids at Chamberlain's. And, you know, that I think has transformed her, but it certainly transformed me to just be able to tag along and be part of those craft projects. I found out I can do a craft project without gluing myself to the table. I'm so excited to know that about myself. And so, but there's another element to that. My hope is those kids are transformed through that. So it's not just about Dee, it's not just about me, but it's about those kids being transformed to see there are people who care about us that we don't even know, that we haven't even met, who care enough to provide these kinds of events for us. I think about the nurturing and the teaching and the religious instruction of 35 or more kids in our preschool. This is not just some place that an outside school comes in and rents space. This is part of our ministry. I hope you recognize that. I hope you take that in, that this preschool is part of our mission and our ministry. It's about transforming the kids and about transforming the teachers and about transforming us. I'll tell you, if I'm in a bad mood, if I've been doing a craft project at home and all I've done is cut my thumb and burn my fingers, but if I can come in here around these kids, hi, Father Ken! Do you agree with that, Carol? Do you agree with that, Reverend Artis? I mean, it just transforms us to be in the midst of that. It's about transformation. The resurrection of Jesus changes us, even today. 1 John explains that through faith in Jesus, we are all welcomed as God's children. We're all welcomed as God's children. So what that says is we know what we are. We are part of God's family, right? That's what we are. But what we are to be is be in the image of God. So we are to be understanding and studying the values that Jesus lived by, we are to be like Jesus in the way we live. We are to have the mind of Jesus in the way we approach our day. So there is a now what we are, but there's also a what we are to become element of who we are as children of God. I'll repeat a statistic I did a couple weeks ago because it's so mind-boggling that there are 2.2 people in the world, 2.2 billion people in the world who proclaim that they follow teachings of Jesus. 2.2 billion. I get excited to think what the impact could be, what it would be, if all 2.2 billion people allowed themselves to be transformed. Not just say they believe in Jesus, but were willing to be transformed, to be made new from the inside out. And that is a pretty simple thing to accomplish. As Paul said, I wrote that quote down here somewhere. Oh, yeah. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So a way to renew our mind is just stand in front of the mirror first thing in the morning or sit in our car when we're parked outside of work before we walk into work and just say a prayer. Lord, today, as best as I know how, I give today to you who I am, what I say, the way I handle the challenges I face, the way I interact with the people I meet. I give myself to you today. To help me meet with local clergy here in Hollister, I joined a coffee club. I figured that's a great way to meet people at Mars Hill. And so I started attending, and I found myself pretty quickly in those meetings talking about how we as a church community are addressing the homeless in this area and how we're approaching specifically the ones who approach us in church, right, during a service or during coffee hour. And there wasn't much of an answer. And I was a little shocked by that. And then a little later, I was asked by that same group of clergy to give the message or the homily at the ecumenical service on Good Friday. And what I chose to talk about in that was how all of us in that mixed group, all the different ways that we worship and the different kinds of music that we sing or listen to on Sunday, it doesn't matter because we have a shared calling. We have that in common. We have a shared calling. And I had a lot of fun with that and got some good comments back. So I guess I'm still employed. Now I've been asked to serve on the board of the community food bank. Well, I think those things are all connected. I don't think they're coincidence. I've told you before, I don't believe in coincidence anyways. I think they're incidents of God. They're God incidents, but not coincidence. They're just God incidents. And what I want to do is to integrate the outreach work of these churches so that we work together instead of each one doing its own thing, to be together. That sounds like transformation to me. My vision is for Christ Church to provide networking alongside community service organizations. And I believe God brought these experiences together, transforming us through the renewing of our minds. We are an Easter people. We already know that. We celebrate wildly on Christmas Day. We have a whole season, not just one Sunday, to celebrate Easter. Our faith is empowered by the resurrection of Jesus. He received new life on Easter Day. We know about his resurrection. You and I are an Easter people, which means that we believe that that new life is available for us too. It's not just a new life for Jesus. It's not just a new life for Peter and the disciples. It's a new life for you and me too. It's an opportunity for personal transformation from the inside out. May each of us accept what Jesus gave his life for and allow that power to be at work more and more in our lives. Amen.